I'm joined by Dr. Daniel Rowan. He's an expert in audiology from the University of Southampton. You've been doing some research. We tend to use the term at the moment echolocation. It's a technique that blind or partially sighted people have. They can go out and about and detect objects, and you're demystifying this process. So what research have you been conducting, Daniel?
Looking at one specific aspect of echolocation, and that is the ability to tell whether an object is to the right or to the left of you, so where it's located, and to do that without moving your head. So using the two ears and the information locked away within the echo to find out where an object is in space.
Are you using blind and partially sighted people to do this, or sighted people with blindfolds?
When we first started doing this, we used real physical objects, and we would blindfold sighted people and move the objects around. But what we found is there are quite a lot of advantages for using what we call virtual objects. And what I mean by virtual object is where you play people sounds over headphones that pretty much exactly replicate the sorts of sounds that they would have heard if they'd actually had the physical object in front of them. But it also means that we can go to people. We went to the houses of some blind people who had difficulties with getting about, either temporarily or because they had work commitments or something else. So they couldn't come to our lab here, so we were able to go to them, and they were able to participate in the experiment, which I think is, you know, it's really good to enable as wide access to the sort of experimental work as possible.
So really what you're trying to do was eliminate interactions. But did you find in your research that blind people had an increased ability to echolocate over sighted people that took part in the experiments? Was there any difference found?
Yeah, that's a really good question. We were very careful when we did our experiments actually not to try to answer that question. Now, that might seem crazy, but let me explain what I mean. What we were trying to do was to see what happens if you change certain physical aspects of the object. So if you move the object further away, or if you change its orientation, or if you change the type of sound that goes out. And what the main reason that we used the blind people was really to sanity check the results with the sighted people, to make sure the sorts of trends we saw as we varied these different aspects, that those trends were consistent both in sighted people and blind people. Now, the reason that we purposely didn't try to see whether blind people were better than sighted people in this experiment, because doing that sort of experiment turns out to be actually really quite difficult if you're not really careful. So what we didn't want to do is to contribute to confusion.
So what have you found? Have you scientifically found that people in general have got an ability to echolocate?
We found that if you play sighted people or blind people, the sounds that you get from echoes from objects, many people can make sense of those. So we have the machinery within our ears and most importantly our brains to do this, that it is really clear from our research that some blind people are better than others and some sighted people are better than others. Issue to do with experience and the sort of experience somebody has, which is why you might expect that blind people tend to be better than sighted people. Is to not think of echolocation as some crazy phenomenon that one or two very unusual people in the world can use. We've all got the machinery to be able to process the sounds that we get back to our ears to help with this, and that probably gets better with training and with experience.
So what was the purpose of your research? How does it affect us in our everyday life?
Yeah, well, that's a good question to ask of any research, and it's not always clear. One of the things that we wanted to know about is how useful is this particular echolocation strategy when you vary things about the object in ways that make sense for the real world. So, for instance, if you wanted to tell whether there was a reflective board to the right or to the left of you, how important is it if it's far away? I mean, is your ability to localize that board, does that get much worse if the board is much further away? To use your two ears without moving your head, so just use the information locked away within the echo to tell whether something's to the right or to the left of you, it's actually quite difficult unless it's it's facing back at you in a really optimal way, at least beyond about 2 meters away from you.
Would I be able to tell from your technique if a lamppost was 2 meters away from me?
First challenge is the size. And as you probably know, that in order to get a reflection off of an object, the sound that goes out to meet it has got to have a wavelength that's sufficiently small, a pitch that's sufficiently high, and then it will bounce back. If the pitch is too low, the sound will just bend around the obstacle and keep on going. The portion of the lamppost that actually acts to reflect the sound back to you as an observer is fairly small, which means you need an even higher pitch sound to identify it. Trying to pick out lamppost or small objects is quite a tall order if you're making sounds with your mouth or you're clicking with maybe your hand or something.
So our human ears just can't really detect lampposts at the moment. Perhaps that's probably why I've had a few head knocks, although I can detect larger objects like a car. I can sense the air moving. In a sense, you're trying to demystify all this. What about your research? Where's it going to be taken forward? And are you interested in hearing from other blind and partially sighted people?
Yeah, I mean, we're very interested in hearing from people. The various people we've spoken to date have told us a variety of stories about how they use echoes in their daily life. And it really goes to show that you don't have to be walking around and clicking like a bat. People use finger snaps or cane taps, or they'll just use the sounds that are in the natural environment and how those are bouncing around and reflecting off of objects, or not reflecting off of things. So if you know, you might be walking along and it seems a bit echoey, and then it seems a bit dead, and that's maybe a sign that the wall has stopped and there's an opening or something. So we're very interested in getting a much better understanding of how important sounds are, and in particular echoes are, to blind people for a variety of reasons. And I think one of the key things that goes back to me being an audiologist and interested in hearing and hearing impairment is to better understand the significance to blind people of hearing impairment. Now, we all know that hearing impairment pretty much comes to us all. So when you get beyond 60, one-third to a half of people aged 60 to 70 have got a hearing impairment, and about two-thirds of people aged 70 or more have a hearing impairment. What consequence does that hearing impairment have to blind people that may be quite different to sighted people? Because of a lack of knowledge about how to really approach this and to understand this by audiologists, blind people are often sort of treated in an audiological sense like a sighted person in an audiology clinic. It's just that we don't really have a good enough understanding of the importance of echoes and sounds to blind people and how that differs from sighted people. So that's what we want to understand better, the impact of hearing aids and all these and hearing loss on sighted people can't be simply generalized to blind people because the situation is very different.
Well, Dr. Daniel Rowan from Southampton University, thanks for joining us here and letting us know about your fascinating research. Have you got any contact details if we would like further information?
I can be contacted with d.rowan, R-O-W-A-N, at southampton.ac.uk.
And we look forward to following your progress in the future.
Thank you very much.